Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is the Council Connections show with Michael Goodrich. Connection is
made. And welcome to the Council Connections show. This is Michael Goodrich. I'm your Community Development Officer for the Upper Yarra, working with Yarra Ranges Council. And it's a great show to be here. We're here the first Wednesday of the month from 2 to 3 o'clock. And this week is a very special week. It is NAIDOC week. So happy NAIDOC week. There's lots to celebrate. And I've got some amazing guests today to talk about NAIDOC week and their experiences too. First off, I've got Nelson Aldridge, who's a proud Tunnerong man, talking about his experience and what NAIDOC week is. In our youth voice, we've got Nikita Aldridge, Caitlin Healy, and Nikki Madgewick talking about the role elders have played in their lives. And then our last, Nikki's coming back to talk about UNA, our local Indigenous organisation, and its role and what it's happening and what it's doing for NAIDOC week as well. So big show, but and a great to hear some stories today. So first off, welcome Nelson.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me back. Yeah. Coming back 12 months later, really, really enjoyed it last year. So happy to be here again and have a chat about some Indigenous culture.
Yeah, it is great. And it's great here in a new studio too. It's the first time in a new studio, which is very swish, very nice. And it's good to be in person and have these chats as well. So people might have heard about NAIDOC Week in the past or might not have, but can you tell us a bit about what NAIDOC Week is?
Yeah, so NAIDOC actually means National Aboriginals and Islanders Day Observance Committee, which originally started in 1938 and was actually a day of mourning, so it was only a day back then. And as it went through the years, in about 1975, it became a week-long celebration, and it turned into a celebration of Aboriginal culture, all things Indigenous culture. So a really special time for Indigenous people. It's the first week of July every year. And it's just something that Indigenous people get around each other and they celebrate all things Aboriginal culture. And non-Indigenous people, I should add, it's something that we can all celebrate together.
Absolutely. And we've got a lot to celebrate too. And 1938 is when it started. Think about, you know, Indigenous rights and the protest movement in the 60s. But actually, this was in the 30s. This is pre-World War II, where these, you know, strong elders and leaders in the communities started to stand up and and make their voice heard, which is amazing to hear, you know, that history. So, like I said, now it's about a celebration. And this year's theme is for our elders as well, which is an amazing thing to have and think about the heritage of past elders and current elders as well. So I'm curious to hear from you about elders, what they've played in your life and your history there.
Yeah, so as you said, every year there is a theme, and this year being for our elders, it's really special because across every generation our elders have played and continue to play an important role and hold a prominent place in our communities and families. You know, they're the cultural knowledge holders, the trailblazers, the nurturers, the advocates, the teachers, the survivors, the leaders, the hard workers and our loved ones. And they guide our generations and pave the way for us to take the paths we can take today. Guidance not only through generations of advocacy and activism, but in everyday life and how to place ourselves in the world. So it's a very special theme this year. And from a personal point of view, what does that mean to me? So the part of me, from my family point of view, I think back to my great-great-great-grandmother out at Corranderk, who at the age of 20 was marched to Melbourne to fight for her rights in a courtroom.
Yeah.
I think of my great-grandfather, William Jenkins, who was NAIDOC Elder of the Year, and these proud Tunnerong people who have paved the way for me to step up in my family line and do what I do. But in a more broader terms of Corranderk, you know, Corranderk being the spiritual place of Aboriginality in Victoria, and to put into perspective of how serious it was out there, there's an SBS series called The First Australians.
Yes.
And there's 6 episodes and they're all based on significant Indigenous events in Australia. And episode 3 is right here in our backyard at Corranderk in Hillsville. So that just shows how important it was out there. So I'm talking about the likes of William Barrack, Simon Wonga, Annie Barat, Thomas Denoli, Tommy Banfield, just to name a few people out there who have literally paved the way for Aboriginal people, not only in the Yarra Ranges, but in the country, to stand up and continue that fight of what they did.
It is. It's incredible. And like that the episode there on SBS, on, you know, people, it's still live now, so people want to go online and search SBS On Demand, they'll find that episode. It's series episode 3, isn't it?
Yep, episode 3, Freedom of Our Lifetime.
For Our Lifetime, which is an amazing story. Elf Corranderk too. And it is, we're in Healesville. This is, you know, this is right here, and this is what Healesville is. Can you tell us, people might not have heard about Corranderk but not really know a bit about its story and its significance?
Yeah, so Corranderk's a great story of success, but it's a story of sorrow. It was an Aboriginal mission that started up about 1863, 1864, which is how my family come from Tunnerong country down to here, which we've been ever since. We were taken to Corindoke Station. It was made up of Aboriginal mobs from all over Victoria. And as I said, with the great story of successes, they showed Australia at the time that they could live within society and you know, as the quote William Barrett gives, this country and we will show that we can make it work. And they did. Yeah. And they did it really, really well. But the story of great sorrow is that in that time, it wasn't a really good thing, that the government didn't really like seeing the Aboriginal people out there succeed.
It was not meant to succeed in some ways.
No, it was meant to. It was a part of wiping Indigenous culture out.
Yeah.
So when it was succeeding, you know, I'm talking hops kilns. They had hop kilns out there, and the hops won.
They won a gold medal at the Melbourne show.
Yeah, yeah. Like this was serious stuff.
Best in Australia. Yeah.
It was a true story of reconciliation because they had great relationships with the farmers in the area, the Tapiri family out in Yeering. It was the true story of reconciliation all the way back in the 1860s and 1870s. Yeah. So when the government decided that they were going to try and put a stop to us, they come up with all sorts of policies, White Australia Policy, Half Caste Act, and that really hurt Corindoke. You know, it put a real stop to the progress out there.
Yeah.
But the beauty of Corindoke is that it's back in the hands of a Wurundjeri with Wandoon Estate, and it's starting to get back up as like a cultural centre.
Yeah, which is amazing. And like that's such a long journey too, like these elders, said back in the day in the 1800s, was driving away and showing how, like, you know, amazing success, like to live in two worlds.
Yep.
And do that successfully, like how hard it is to actually continue your own culture and your language and your traditions, but also have to live in a Western world and be successful in both spaces is just incredible.
It's just true resilience, really, isn't it? Yeah. Because, you know, I need to be grateful because of what happened back then. I'm in the role I am today, and I get to come and talk to you today about that, which is really, really special.
Yeah.
You know, it's really shaped the way of Indigenous ways of knowing, being, doing, which we undertake at Council and the Indigenous Development Team. We've got so much to be thankful for. Of Corindoke. That's why we're so passionate about what we do, because it's continuing the fight and the legacy of those amazing elders out there.
Yeah.
So for the theme of NAIDOC this year to be for our elders is really, really special.
Absolutely. And that such importance of storytelling, like you can't underestimate how important those stories are to keep and to pass on and to be part of, you know, who you are as well. And us as a nation, like these is part of, it's a story of Corindoke, it's a story of, but it's also Australian. This is Australian history. We can be bothly mixed, quite proud of it, but also have some quite hard emotions around what has happened as well. And but also some good experience of having it now as well. It's such a interesting thing of, you know, because I'm not Indigenous, my family moved here, but thinking of like the proud things you have about Australia, but also those things that you know in the past that haven't been great as well, and still be honest about those things and still be able to celebrate those elders in the past who really fought for their community and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we quite often talk about that your Aboriginal culture and history and heritage is the heritage, history and culture of all Australians.
Yes.
You know, every day people don't realise that they're actually immersed in Indigenous culture. You know, and then it's funny because I'll say to people, well, do you know Warrielic? Yes, well, Warrielic and Woiwurrung language means running creek. So
yes.
Mount Donabewang, heart of the mountain, Murrulbark, Murrulbik, great pool of water.
Mm.
So you're actually immersed in Indigenous culture every day, you know, and that's what's really cool about reconciliation. It's that, as you said, listening to the stories, because that's really important too, truth-telling and listening to the stories that happen so you can acknowledge the past so that we can all come together and work together in the present to move forward as one sustainable United Nation.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true. And like I was thinking about this week, around for hours and what that means, and like you said about Aboriginal culture, but it's the foundation of Australian culture. You think all these things, like not just the names of places, but also like you think about, like people think about Australian, think of mateship or having a fair go, all those things are so integral to Indigenous culture, and like and they've come from that as well, which is amazing to think of that, yeah, that heritage we've been part of, all of Australians have been part of as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really special for me to reflect on, you know, of my sisters coming in here after me, and we walk the same journey of our cultural journey, of our Aboriginal identity. And that's a really special thing for me too, is to share that with my sister and my family. And as I said, you know, it goes back to my great-great-great-grandmother out at Corindoke, but her father as well, Dr. Billy Barrett, who was one of the Narangitas in Tunnerong country. You know, I just think of all these activists and like these people that were fighting for what was right.
Yeah.
So I said it before and I'll say it again. It's such a privilege. It's such a privilege to be able to do what I do, knowing that I'm doing it in the legacy and memory of what my ancestors and my elders left behind for me to continue on with.
Yeah. People might have heard of those. So people might have heard of what Tanarong is, but not quite sure where it is. But also, yep. Narangita as well. People might have heard that word before, but not quite sure what that means. Can you tell us a bit of that story?
Yep. So Tanarong country is up over the Great Dividing Range, and it stems from Brighton, Myrtleford, all the way through towns like Ilden and Buxton and Mansfield, and it goes all the way to Broadford and Seymour. So my family come from Yarranillam, which was in Mansfield. And my grandfather was the Narangita of that tribe, and Narangita is essentially the head man or head woman, so the leader of the clan. Mm. But it's really funny because we're from Yarranillam, but in 1863 we were noticed in Waringillam Bullock, which is in Yay.
Yeah.
So in Tanarong country, every clan has a totem. You've either got Bunjil, which is the eagle, or Wah, the crow, and we were Wah.
Mm.
And if you were a Wah, if your clan's totem was a Wah, you would have to marry a Bunjil. Mm. So we're thinking that what might have happened was my grandmother and so on was sent to Waringillam Bullock, possibly to find marriage or something. But then obviously with the reserves kicking in, it was 1863 that we were marched over the Great Dividing Range down to Hillsville, which my family's been in Hillsville since then. Yeah. So local.
Yeah, and that history, I guess, it would correlate back to 1863, where all the mobs were then brought into this place, into Hillsville, and Corindock was then formed to keep people there together. Not by their choice at all, like they're forced to move and essentially have a detention centre, was it, in a way?
Yeah, it was. Look, Corindock, when you hear about some of the other missions that were around, you look at Corindock and you go, what a great story of self-determination. You know, they had a massive voice around themselves. They had a lot of decision making. A lot of their decision making they made themselves. There was no one overcharged saying this is what's best for you. So that's what made Corindock work so well.
Mm.
It really did. And they did it with John Green, who was the head of the mission out there, an Irish fellow, John Green.
Yes.
True reconciliation.
Yeah. And it was that partnership that made that opportunity be successful and actually be able to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'll just think of like William Barrack, who marched to Melbourne on multiple occasions to go and fight for his people's rights, sometimes getting to the doorsteps in Melbourne and being turned around, literally just turned around and sent home. So it's that, as I said, it's that ongoing advocacy and continuing to fight no matter what, no matter how many times you're sent home or you've been told no or whatever it is, it's to continue to do the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And people would have been... So you'll see Hillsborough Sanctuary was part of Corindock originally, and you'll go to Hillsborough Sanctuary now and you'll see a statue of William Barrack as well and some stories as well. So you might have seen that statue there in the sanctuary. So that's the reason why there is, because that was Corindock.
Yep.
Yeah.
And even in the museum down in Lilydale there,
there's
an amazing exhibition upstairs which is based around Corindock and their relationship with the Dupuy family.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty special. Yeah. It's a pretty special place. Yeah. And the beauty of where Corindock is in Hillsville is it's such a large Indigenous community out here that we have places like Una that you know, they're really bringing culture into community. So that's really special, and we love having that partnership with Una to help them provide that culture within the community.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking too, like, maybe people have not been... I heard the word elder and... but not know what it really means in the context of Indigenous culture as well. So what is for you, how would you explain to somebody who's never heard that word before, what is an elder in Indigenous cultures?
Yeah, I mean, an elder can be different things to different people. So what it means to me is someone that's recognised once they get to a certain age of what they've done within community, what change they've made, or how they've helped community out. I think of like Arnie Dot Peters.
Mm-hmm.
And... All these prominent elders out here in community that have helped make change in community, Arnie Joy, Murphy Wandon, that have been a real spokesperson for Indigenous culture and have done that for a very long time. So they're recognised.
Yeah. Yep. And it's such a beautiful thing too, because, you know, I think in another place where you think somebody gets older in age and they seem to be elderly, and that seems like this frail sort of older person and you retire, but the elder has this reverence.
yeah,
and a huge value. And this is the person who is a sacred person in the community, and it's so different to other places in our community where you think somebody's old in the cold, they're retiring, and then sort of they've finished their life and they're just going to relax now. Whereas being an elder is completely opposite. This is where you've come to this point in life where you are now leading the community and a voice and inspiring the rest of the community.
Yeah, well, as I said before, they're the trailblazers, they're the knowledge holders. Yeah. You know, when you talk about that resilience of when Aboriginal culture was nearly wiped out, but in secret they were practicing their culture and language, that was passed down through elders through generations. So when they listen, when they talk, you listen. Because they've got so much wisdom and knowledge to share with you. And you just know that what they've done for community. So they're an integral part of Indigenous culture.
Absolutely. And we've got Kate on next, who's going to talk about her experience and her mother, who's been really that huge work she's done for Tunurong and the language work that she's done to the dictionary and all that work that continues to be strived and still have these trailblazers with us today and will continue in the future as well.
Exactly. You know, Arnie Lee has done an amazing job with that dictionary. You know, to have your own dictionary in your own language is just amazing. It's just like a cultural, it's there. It's something that obviously went through those phases of trying to wipe Indigenous culture out, but we've got it here and Arnie Lee's taken it to the next step by it's in a dictionary.
Yeah, that's the tangible solidifying of like it's there. It can't. Yeah. This is like really, and be able for people to actually pick it up, and anybody to be able to pick it up and want to learn more about it, or not just for Tunurong, but if anybody in Australia who's like, I'm really curious and want to know, I live in this area, I want to learn more about it and understand the language and the words around me, actually a part of a long, long history.
Absolutely, and you know, even in a Wurundjeri sense, you got Brooke Wandon, who's doing an amazing job at the primary schools and doing workshops with her own family. And you know, I talked to Darren and Sam, and that opportunity for them to learn language with their family is really special to them. So this is, it brings people together as well, like reconnecting to that culture and getting this Indigenous knowledge back is actually connecting them to family and having a yarn and just getting around each other, so to say.
Yes. So our next coming up, we got Nikita and Nikki talking about the experience of their elders in their lives as well. But is there anything you'd like to say? If people are curious and want to learn more, is there any way you think people can go to either watch some video or do some reading or go visit somewhere that you think could be good for themselves to learn about the elders in our community and their stories?
Yeah, I think the NAIDOC website is very good. So you just jump on Google and search up NAIDOC and it's the first thing that pops up. But also getting in touch with events that are on, you know, go to these events. As I said before, as you live and breathe on this land, your history and heritage is the same history and heritage as Aboriginal people. So get involved, celebrate, embrace it for what it is. It's a really special time of year, just like Reconciliation Week. So my main message would be to really branch out and do something that, although it might make you feel uncomfortable, go and get involved, embrace it, because you'll love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there is so much on, so people just Google or in the search engine NAIDOC Week, and you'll find so much on to go and see and do and watch and be a part of as well. But like you said, it can sometimes be uncomfortable. You lean into that, being comfortable with being uncomfortable is sometimes a really important thing to have, to be in that space and understand this is all part of our history.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, council itself doesn't offer anything from NAIDOC Week event-wise, because we do a reconciliation event and the time period is just really short to organise something. But it's also an opportunity. You know, I was up on Tunurong Country up there doing a flag raising and connecting with some of the Tunurong mob on Monday. So it's also a great opportunity for us to get around and see some family or see some mob that we haven't seen and just connect and have a yarn. It's really cool.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Nelson.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I really, really enjoy our time together, and I'll see you around the office anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully come back next year again. So off to a song now, and then our next session is The Youth Voice with Nikita, Caitlin and Nikki talking about elders and their impacts on their lives. We'll be right back.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Nikita Aldridge. I'm a proud Tangerang woman and I am the youth worker here at Yarra Rangers Council. Happy NAIDOC Week to everyone. I'm really pleased to bring some very special guests here today. I'm joined by the wonderful Caitlin Healy, Kayla Wanden-Collins and Nikki Madgwick. So if you would all like to introduce yourselves. Caitlin, would you like to go first?
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm a proud Tangerang woman and I'm just super happy to be here.
Awesome. Kayla.
Hi, I'm Kayla Wanden-Collins. I'm proud Wurundjeri Woiwurrung woman and I work at UNA as the programs assistant and I'm so pleased to be here chatting about NAIDOC Week. How exciting.
Very exciting. And Nikki.
Hey everyone, my name's Nikki Madgwick. I'm a proud Wurrumbai Biripi woman with ties to Dungudi, Wawadjuri and Kamilaroi. I also work at UNA Health and Community Services Aboriginal Corporation and I am now the Manager of Culture and Events. And thank you for having us here today, Nikita.
No, thank you guys very much for joining. It's a very beautiful theme this year for our elders. I think we can all agree that elders are our rocks and they are the reason why we keep going and we keep doing what we do. So I'm really excited to be able to have this conversation with you all. So I guess my first question for everyone today is, could you tell us what this year's theme means to everyone?
For me, I personally have been so lucky to be born and raised on country. So being around elders who have also lived on country has been such a special thing for me. And I've only really started to actually realised that since having my own kids, how important elders are for us and to continue this amazing culture that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. Just being super proud to be around them and just being involved in all the little things I can be involved in. Just super excited to maybe be an elder one day and pass on all the knowledge that I've received from the elders around me. Very, very, very excited times.
Beautiful. Caitlin?
So I believe that, you know, well, I guess I should start saying that it is very special to me, like the theme of this year for our elders, because if anything, we owe everything that we do to them and to ourselves. And They've been here to protect us and to give us the knowledge. And I guess it's now our turn to just take the reins and, yeah, basically we owe it to them, mm-hmm. you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I think for me personally that getting to grow up on Wurundjeri country, being a guest on this country, but seeing so many inspirational elders just really taking charge, sharing their knowledge so generously as well, you know. I grew up when Auntie Dot was going around to all the schools and teaching the kids how to basket coil. And, you know, just having that experience in my childhood is so precious to me. And I think that it's something that really is a driving force in the work that I do at UNA, creating these experiences for others in community and creating those connections as well between our young ones and our elders, our knowledge keepers. You know, they're really sacred and I think we should always be honouring and acknowledging their contributions.
Beautiful answers. Thank you. Who are some elders within our community that you guys look up to? I know for me personally, Aunty Lee Healy has been such a pivotal person in my life, not only personally but within community as well. She's really paved the way, and I'm just interested to hear who you guys have always looked up to.
For me, definitely Aunty Joy Murphy Wandon. She's my grandfather's sister, and I mean it's hard to probably list and name all the amazing things she's done for this country and even just the state, really, just, you know, even in sporting events and just every type of aspect you can think. Aunty Joy has had something to do with it. Probably also my grandfather as well, who didn't always know his culture growing up, but has always strived to keep learning and wanting the best out of his family. And probably my mum, Brooke Wandon, who has really dug deep into her traditional language and really, you know, spending hours and hours just trying to learn her language so she can pass it on to me and my sisters and my little ones too. I mean, she's kind of brainwashed my kids. But it's lovely. I mean, I love it. My daughter actually is very proud at school. She teaches all of her friends little words in the little prep class at Hillsville Primary School where my mum does cultural education. So, I mean, I could sit here for hours and tell you so many amazing elders I've been able and privileged to live with, but definitely those three definitely stick out. And, yeah, I think we're all lucky to have amazing elders, absolutely. But definitely those three stick out for me.
Yeah, amazing.
I feel as though this is quite an obvious one for me. I would have to say my biggest inspiration when it comes to elders within our community is definitely my mum, Auntie Lee Healy. I am so unbelievably proud of what she has done with many communities across the state. It is an absolute honour to be her daughter. I have seen her go through the worst, and yet she is such a strong individual and speaker. She has fought so hard for our mob and our family to make sure that our language and connection to our country wasn't lost. So for that, I am so grateful.
Beautiful.
And, I mean, I could list so many. I mean, just like Kayla, there's just so many that have been integral in my upbringing, in my cultural knowledge and my journey. But I do also want to acknowledge some of our elders who have passed to the Dreaming. So Uncle Jack Charles and Uncle Archie Roach, I was really lucky to get to perform alongside them and get to know them a little bit more on a personal level. And so I do want to acknowledge that this is our first NAIDOC without them. I do also want to acknowledge all the work that my mum has done, Miranda Madgwick. She was one of the founding members of UNA. And even though she's always running around, has heaps of energy, and she'll be the last person to acknowledge how much she does for everyone else, I definitely want to pay her that respect. And also, you know, we have like Aunty Dosina Fergie, we've got Anne Jenkins, Aunty Dot Peters, like I mentioned before, Uncle Vincent Peters. I could go on and on about elders who have been connected either in my cultural journey or in my experience working with UNA over the years. Every elder I've come in contact with has given me a different bit of knowledge that I'm just so grateful for.
Beautiful. I'd also like to just give a quick shout out to my mum, Terry, who she's always taught me to be a very strong individual and to never, just to always be proud of myself and my culture. She has never shied away from our Aboriginality, and I'm very, very thankful to have had her support throughout my last 23 years, and I'll continue to go on. I'm glad we've spoken about Aunty Lee and Brooke as well. What inspirational women
in our community who fight so hard to keep language alive. Could you both please speak about your mums and the impact they've had on our community?
I don't want to get emotional talking about it. Not even as in an elder sense, but just as being a mum, you know. She's come from, you know, obviously a very well-known family, and she's never looked back, really. She's always challenging herself, and I can't speak highly enough of mum, really. She's taught me so much just in being my mum, myself, you know, to my kids, and also in the cultural aspect. You know, every time I go to her house, she's got her head right in that laptop, writing away some, you know, language find that she's found. And even going back to, I think, 2013 or 14 or 15, when she did the Corindurk Festival out at Corindurk with my auntie Jackie Wandon, that was just such a pivotal event, you know, in Healesville, recognising culture and Aboriginality as well. So, look, I know we're on a bit of a time, but I could sit here for hours and hours talking about how amazing she is. She's done lots of things. She's the culture educator at Hillsville Primary, so she's already teaching young ones language, and that's something I'm really, really proud of, and I'll forever be grateful for her.
I definitely, definitely feel the exact same way about Aunty Lee, my mum. She has done amazing things with her life, one being creating, or more so from my grandma and my great auntie, they began to revive our language, and mum was the one that was able to have that published into a physical dictionary, which is absolutely awesome. She's just amazing. She's currently still doing a lot for the community. She's working for Buxton Primary School, teaching language and culture, and just, yeah, like, basically what Kayla said, I agree. Same kind of applies with my mum.
Amazing. And is there any last words you would like to leave to all the listeners this afternoon about NAIDOC Week, about the theme, about ourselves?
I just wanted to say one quick thing, just in regards to the theme of NAIDOC Week, which is for our elders. I just want to really reiterate to the young Indigenous people out there, they have done so much for this community that we wouldn't even know of that they did before, like a long, long time before we were here. And just be proud of yourself, be proud of your culture. I know it takes a bit of guts to get out there, but you should just be proud. We are part of the longest living, you know, culture ever in the history of the world. So it's just, yeah, don't be afraid. Get out there and just have a voice. Voice is a really important thing, especially with everything that's going on. So having a voice and just being there just to support each other is what we need. We need to grow together and be, you know, be one together. So don't be afraid, you mob.
Caitlin?
So, yeah, it's kind of like I had kind of the same thing in my mind. Like, it is quite obvious to say that, yeah, we definitely need to be proud and confident with ourselves and our culture, as it is who we are, and no one should ever feel ashamed of their heritage. So in saying that, we need to stand up and do the most we can to make sure that our future generations have all the resources and foundations to make sure we never allow for the possibility of our language and culture to be lost again.
And I think I'd just say in conclusion that, you know, ask the questions, listen to the stories. Time is so precious, so don't assume that you always will have access to your grandparents, your nan, your pop, your elders, to be able to ask those questions, because you might not. You know, if you want to know knowledge, if you want to hear the stories, if you want to learn more about culture, just start today. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Kayla, Caitlin and Nikki, for joining me today. It's been greatly appreciated, and I hope everyone at home has enjoyed the conversations we've just had. Next up after the break, stick around, we will have Michael Goodrich back on the microphone, and we'll be joined by Nikki Madgwick, who will be giving us some updates on what's happening this week with Una, and just a little bit of a backstory on Una as well. So hang around.
Yo, yo. on the north side of the River Thames. Yoruba, sweet voice like Thames. Saw her in a party, turning up with her girlfriends on a weekend, like, when the hell's a boyfriend? Let me scope her out, no shades. Look her up and down, no shade. You should have seen what a mumsy made. Next to the DJ when he played Make It Rain. Hennessy and champagne, man, I'm on a roll. Feeling good, like, say, I run a show. If Beyonce walks in with Jay-Z right now, my man's going home alone. I walk up and look her deep in the soul. Yeah, put your number in my phone. I ain't gotta talk too much, cause you know how the story goes. Yeah, I ain't really got no time, but baby girl, you just my type. Hand on my heart, no lies. Even in my sleep, you're still on my mind. Even though it's wrong, we can make it right. Even though I'm right, she can't do no wrong. When I catch that Cupid, you, it's long. But right now, sing along to the song, like,
I think I got a crush on you. It's the sweetest surprise, but it don't make no sense.
Pass me the keys, let me take you for a ride. Your old team, they don't wanna sport you. What a joke, man, let me treat you right. Only first class when we jump on the flat, and only five star when we sleep at night. Bartender, get a rain if an ice. One or two drinks, got us feeling alright. Should we come and swing my way? I don't even know why I feel this way. All I really know is what I want right now, and what I really want is you in lingerie. Silhouette got me thinking all types of things. It's 4-3 when it's time to play. I've traveled all around the world, it's crazy, but any day with you's like a getaway. Yeah, I ain't really got no time, but baby girl, you just my type. Hand on my heart, no lies. Even in my sleep, you're still on my mind. Even though it's wrong, we can make it right. Even though I'm right, she can't do no wrong. When I catch that Cupid, you, it's long. But right now, sing along to the song, man.
I think I got a crush on you. It's the sweetest surprise, but it don't make no sense at all.
And welcome back to the Council's Connection Show. And Nikki has stuck around, which is lovely. Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Michael. How are you going?
Yeah, good. So it's just been a really special show to hear these incredible stories about elders and the history of where we live as well. But part of the history is Una.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like for me, definitely, it's in my blood, you know. I did mention earlier, my mum was one of the founding members of Una. And so I've been there from the community consultations to the feasibility studies, and then in 2009 when we got incorporated. And I've actually worked there personally for just over 7 years now. Yes. So I qualify for long service. So definitely in the blood.
The span of your lifetime.
Yeah. It's seen me through every phase. And it's really exciting because I originally was a participant in programs, and obviously working there over the years, I've seen others who were participants in our programs now have career opportunities at Una as well. And it's just really exciting to see it come to fruition.
Yeah. So people who know might have heard of Una before.
Yeah.
The word Una, what does it mean?
So I've been told it means platypus in Tanarong language. Aunty Glenys Murray, I believe, was originally the one who gifted that name. Mm-hmm. Back in the days when our site was used for Swinburne training purposes, mm-hmm. and so one of the rooms was the Una building. And then we incorporated in 2009 as HICSA, Hillsville Indigenous Community Services Association. And when we went to become an accredited health service, we did have to change the language in our name. And then that's when we actually went back to Una Health and Community Services Aboriginal Corporation. Mm. So we are an Aboriginal health service. We're located in Hillsville. However, our catchment covers the whole Eastern Metro region. So covering the LGAs of Yarrangers Council, the Knox Council, Maroondah City Council, Burundara, Manningham, Whitehorse and Monash now, which is incredible.
Gosh, that is huge. And what a growth particularly in like last 5 years or so.
Absolutely.
Huge growth, which is amazing to see.
Yeah, because when we were working together back in the day, it was very much just Yarra Rangers focused.
Intimate, yes.
Yes. And so it's just really exciting. We also do have roughly 30 staff now as well. So when I started, I think we had 5. We've definitely just grown from strength to strength, and we are able to deliver more services, especially tailored around healthcare needs, but providing that holistic model of care. So while we also have those health services such as podiatry, audiology, optometry, pediatrics, and very soon GP services, we do continue to provide our programs that support our social emotional well-being as well as cultural connections and learnings. And then we do some really exciting events. So that's kind of why we're here for NAIDOC Week.
And some big events.
Big events. We're currently in the depths of table arrangements for the Eastern Metro NAIDOC Ball, which is booked out, unfortunately. However, we are running a youth NAIDOC ball at the end of July. So that's for ages 7 to 17, living in the Eastern Metro region, so those government areas I just mentioned before. And the kids can nominate themselves, they can nominate their friends, people like adults can nominate as well if you see really exciting and really uplifting behaviours from our young ones.
Yes.
We'll do the award ceremony for all intents and purposes. It's the same as the big NAIDOC ball, it's just for the littlies.
Yeah.
If they are under 12, they will have to be supervised by a parent or guardian, but we think it's going to be a great time. It's on the 29th of July, on the Saturday, at the Karalaka Theatre down in Ringwood. And we're going to roll out the red carpet. It's going to just be such a good time. So if anyone's keen or interested, all you have to do is send an email to NAIDOC, which is NAIDOC at unaoonah.org.au, and we'll send the registration forms and the nomination forms to you.
Yeah, beautiful. And so, 7 to 17?
Yep,
so
correct.
So primary school and up to high school as well.
Yep.
And just to celebrate, if you're somebody you know, a young person in your life that you want to actually see and acknowledge.
Absolutely. We've got different categories. You know, I don't have them right in front of me. They are a little different from our adult kind of categories that we normally do for the bigger NAIDOC balls. But we've definitely tried to keep it as similar as possible. We do also have the Kids' Choice Award, which we think is really fun.
That's awesome.
So whoever gets the most nominations from their peers gets that Kids' Choice Award. So that will be really
fantastic.
Fun.
Fantastic. And so, for young people who want to nominate, what does that look like for them?
So we have a kid-friendly nomination form, we really try to make sure that if you were a seven-year-old filling out that form, that it wouldn't be too overwhelming. So there's tick boxes you can do.
Yep.
There's a section where you can also either include pictures, or you can write a couple words, or get maybe an adult to help you write a few words. And you can nominate yourself. That's totally fine. You do just have to be a First Nations young person, Aboriginal and/or Torres Strait Islander young person in the Eastern Metro region. They're the qualifying categories. And if you did win an award last year, you can't win the same award.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. And so it's such a big area as well. Like you said, 30 staff. So people are aware of what... So you mentioned the programs like all the allied health and the GP is coming through soon. But like, I guess for your journey, like you've seen it from the very early stages of it was a concept and a thought.
Yes, absolutely.
To now where it is now. What's been the impact do you see for the community?
I think it's had tremendous outcomes. The biggest being making these services accessible, especially in these more rural areas, especially for the pediatrics. I think that's really where we kind of started to see the biggest effect in community accessing that service, because usually they would have to go into Melbourne, quite a cost associated, quite a long wait list. We've been able to offer pediatrics, I think, for the last 5 years now, if I'm correct. But now we actually have our own pediatrician employed as well, which is a huge achievement.
Yes.
And especially if you've got little ones that either have special needs or, you know, going through a bit of a difficult time with challenging behaviours, the last thing you want to do is take them all the way into Melbourne.
Yes.
You know, and so being able to provide that service regularly out here in Healesville, that has probably been the catalyst and the driving force for us really rallying together to get these other services like the podiatry, the optometry, the audiology, the GP, mental health nurses, all of that happening. We have a dedicated social emotional wellbeing outreach team as well now.
Amazing.
So we're just getting bigger and better.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's not just that travel so far and the cost of the time. You might have time to do that, but also you're not quite sure who you're meeting there,
mm-hmm.
what that place can be like. Is it going to be culturally safe?
Absolutely.
All those unknowns to come to and go, I know, I've seen these people, they're part of my community.
Yeah, friendly faces. Yeah. Yep, definitely. So if anyone was wanting to access any of those services, you just have to send an email to intake@una.org.au. And we'll send the referral intake form for you.
And outside of that sort of the support service, and is there other programs? I know you said run some other programs are more social focused and people to connect with each other and celebrate culture.
Absolutely. So we have a women's group, which is Earth, Heart, Spirit, runs on Tuesdays. We have our youth club for primary school young people, and that's Wednesday afternoons. We have play group that's open to anyone on a Friday. And Kayla, who was on before, she actually supports that. And craft group also on a Friday, open to anyone. Tuck a Bag is a food security program, also open to anyone. You do have to book in for that service, though. So you do need to call up 59622940 before end of business on the Thursday to secure an appointment to come and collect your food parcel on the Friday. But this week it is happening tomorrow, just with our NAIDOC activities. Yes. Not to confuse anyone, but because of NAIDOC commitments, we are running it tomorrow. So if you do need a food parcel, you got to call up today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if people can jump on your website as well to find out more, but they might want to just come in and talk to someone.
Yes, so we are having some difficulties with the website at the moment, so I like to direct people to our Facebook page or our Instagram for the most current information, or you can just drop in. We're at 1A Badger Creek Road in Hillsville.
Yeah, beautiful. And you see the big sign at the front there as well.
Yes.
The park. And so people want to come and say, they'll see a friendly face.
Absolutely.
And have a chat and find out more information as well.
Yep, yep. Beautiful. Please don't be a stranger. Come on down.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the ball this week.
And thank you.
Youth ball coming out as well. It's a big job.
Yes.
And it's amazing. And this is a huge catchment. This is like the Outer East. This is
not
just our Rangers. This is in the leading this space.
Yes.
In the Outer East. It's incredible.
It's a very exciting space. It's really exciting for me to have seen the journey over the years. Mm-hmm. And I just can't wait to see what we're going to keep achieving moving forward.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So thank you for having me on the show. It's been a
thank
pleasure.
Thank you so much. And that's the show for this week, this month. Again, happy NAIDOC week. And if you want to find out more information about how to learn more stories or find out more, or watch some videos and learn about Australian culture and Indigenous culture, just search NAIDOC week and there's heaps and heaps online everywhere you go as well. So take your time this week just to chill out for a few hours and do some reading. There's some great shows on SBS On Demand and iView as well. And we'll see you again next month.